Okay. Well, anyway, the issue I want to discuss today is the question of how do we deal with the fact that there are churches in the state of Israel. Because at face value, this is a halachic problem. Right now, we're waiting for source sheets. We hope they come. If not, we will survive without. So the question is, how do we deal with it, right? What is the halachic justification for, you know, now, obviously, the state at the moment is not a halachic state. So whatever we can say is, you know, very theoretical, and we could come out, we won't. But we could, in theory, come out that there is no justification to allow the house of worship of any religion other than Judaism, and that it's a problem that the government doesn't care about this, and we could give shir from today until tomorrow. I could be the chief rabbi for all anybody cared, and it wouldn't make a difference. But despite that fact, the poskim, especially the earlier poskim, in the early years of the state, people like Rav Herzog really did care, because at that point they wanted to really imagine what would halacha look like if the state was running according to halacha. So they wanted to figure out, is there any way of justifying it? And we'll see that it's a bit complicated. But that's the topic that I want to try to get to. So we'll, this year again, we'll be divided in two. First, I want to just analyze the theoretical question, which is, what are the parameters, what is the nature of the obligation to destroy Avodah Zarah? Is our churches Avodah Zarah, right? Mosques, which is more prevalent in Israel, is a much less serious halakhic problem because it's not Avodah Zarah according to anybody, and therefore the fact that there are mosques is not a problem at all. Churches, at least potentially, is a problem. So I want to first figure out and outline the nature of the theoretical halakha, the theoretical law, and then from there we're going to move to how do we then implement it, or not implement it, or why don't we implement it, or whatever the case may be, in the modern world. Okay, so this is the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says, Mitzvah Asehi, La'abid Avodot Kachavim U'Misham She'a V'kol Hana'aseh B'Shvila. It is a positive commandment to destroy idolatry and all of the it's the things which are used to serve it. V'chol Hana'aseh B'Shvila, and everything made for it. Sh'ne'emar, Abid Ta'abedun Kol Mekomot. Because the pasuk says, destroy all the places. V'ne'emar, ki im kota sulahem, etc. And then the Rambam says something interesting. He says, "Uv eretz Yisrael mitzvah lirdof acharea ad shenabed otam mikol artzeinu." In Eretz Yisrael, not only is it a mitzvah to destroy it, it's a mitzvah to chase after it, find it, root it out wherever it is, and destroy it. Avo b'chutz laaretz einanu mitzuven lirdof acharea. But in chutz laaretz, we do not have to chase after it. If we happen to conquer a place and there is idolatry within the place that we own, so then we have to destroy all the idolatry there. Because the pasuk says, destroy their name from this place. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to chase after them. But outside of the land of Israel, you don't have to chase after it. If you encounter it, if it's under your jurisdiction, so then you have to destroy it. And that's the Rambam's position, that if you control a certain piece of property in Chutz La'aretz, you have to ensure no Avodah Zarah is there. In Eretz Yisrael, you need to be proactive and seek it out and destroy Avodah Zarah. So, when dealing with the theoretical question, we need to ask two questions, right? First is, what is the source for the Rambam's position of distinguishing between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, and what would justify conceptually such a, maybe three questions, two and a half or three questions, and what would justify such a distinction? And the second question is, however one justifies the distinction, do we paskin like that distinction, right? Or are people going to reject it in either direction? Meaning, is anyone going to say it's a mitzvah, l'rdof, acharei avodah zarah, everywhere? Is it anyone going to say that it's only a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah under your jurisdiction, even in Eretz Yisrael? What is the halacha? So where does this come from? So for this part of the shir, I owe a lot of thanks to some of you know, right, Rabbi Weintraub, my predecessor, I guess. But Baruch and I were also in yeshiva together. So I think once when I was visiting, he was giving a shiur on this topic. I don't know, years ago. So many of the sources in the first half of the shiur I got from him. The second half of the shiur I lucked out. There is a wonderful Talmud Chacham, you know, not professional rabbi, a layperson who likes giving shiur every week, lives in the Five Towns, named Gavri Butler, who started listening to some of my shiurim years ago, and we met at some point when he came to visit yeshiva. So he happened to email me 3 weeks ago and said, "I'm giving a shiur on destroying Avodah Zarah and, you know, and churches and artifacts in Israel. Do you happen to have any sources?" And I said, "I'm giving shiur on it in 3 weeks. I haven't thought about it yet, but anything you have, I'm happy if you share it with me, and anything I find, I'll share with you subsequently." So some of the articles he found for me, I found some more for him, but we traded and it was nice. So between two people helping me, I found a lot of material on the topic. It's a fascinating topic. So the first question, conceptually, right? First of all, where does the Rambam get this distinction? What is the nature of the distinction? Where does it all come from? So first, let me just set up the basic sources, and then I'll throw it out to you what the basis might be. So just first, the psukim. The psukim that we're dealing with are in Dvarim Perek Yud Bet, Eila chukim ha-mishpatim asher tishmurun la'asot ba'aretz asher natan Hashem Elokei Avotecha lecha lirishta kol hayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adamare. These are the laws that you shall keep in the land that God has given to you. That God, the God of your forefathers, has given you to inherit forever, that you will live on this land. Destroy all the places where these nations have worshipped their gods. Their gods on the mountains, and on the hills and under every tree. Destroy their altars, their pillars, vashrehem disrubun beish, and their idolatrous trees, burn them, ufsilei Elohim to God, they uproot their idols, vibatem et shemam menamakomahu, and destroy their idols from that place. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi says that this is asei b'avodah zarah, hechi mishkachedla. What is the positive mitzvah that we have related to avodah zarah? Most of them are negative, right? Don't worship, don't do this, don't do that. What is it? So tirgamar of chizda vinitatzdem. It is this mitzvah, destroy the idols. So I just looked at the psukim. No chazal, no nothing. Right? And I asked you, where is the obligation to destroy Avodah Zarah? In Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you can't worship it. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't. You have to actively destroy it. Would you say that you have to actively run after it, or only if it's under your jurisdiction? I would say actively. I would have said, right, if you just read the psukim, you have a, right, you have an extreme split. Eretz Yisrael, v'ibatem, right, v'ibatem, go and destroy the min ha-makom ha-hu, from the land that you've been given. And chutz la'aretz, b'chlal shelo, right, you have no obligation whatsoever to destroy. You obviously can't worship of idolatry, but you don't have to actively seek it out to destroy it. However, that's what you would think from the psukim. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav, and Lamed Zayin say something very surprising. The Mishnah says as follows: Kol mitzvah shehi tluya ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that is contingent on the land, eina noheget el ba'aretz, only applies in the land. Examples being truma, maaser, shmita, whatever the case may be, she'eina tluya ba'aretz. No heged bein baretz v'ein chutz laretz, and if it's something which is not land dependent, so then it applies in Eretz Yisrael and chutz laretz. Now, if I asked you, ibud avodah zarah, destroying avodah zarah, where would you put that? Based on the psukim, mitzvah tluya baretz, right? V'ibatem et shemam menam akom ha'hu. The Gemara says, "Say ulamad mimash nemar ba'inyan abed ta'abdun et kol mekamot asher avdu sham." The Gemara says, learn it from context. We compare Abed to Abedun to the Avodah Zarah, which is being worshipped. Right? Abed to Abedun is a function of the Isser of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Ma Avodat Kochavim Yuchedet Shir Chovar Aguf, and idolatry is an obligation which devolves on people wherever you are, at any time, in any place. So the same thing is true for destroying avodah zarah v'nohaget bein ba'aretz v'en l'chutz la'aretz av kol shichov v'raguf nohaget bein ba'aretz v'en l'chutz la'aretz. So too, any obligation that devolves on the individual, not the place, applies in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. So, just textually, right? Why do you think the Rambam came up with his interesting distinction? I would say, because you have a Gemara which says, destroying avodah zarah is a chovat haguf, and therefore there is no distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. On the other hand, the Psukim clearly indicate that it's a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. So, either you have three options. You have either the option to reject the implication of the Psukim and say, even though the Psukim say you have to destroy avodah zarah in Eretz Yisrael, just reject that implication, take the Gemara, right? That destroying avodah zarah is a function of the prohibition of worshipping avodah zarah, and therefore, just like you can't worship avodah zarah in Toronto, you have to destroy avodah zarah in Toronto. That would be one extreme. The opposite extreme would be to ignore, somehow, the Gemara, and say, despite the fact that the Gemara said what it said, we go with the Psukim, and the Gemara can say what it wants, but, I don't know, we don't paskin like it. Which, we'll see, maybe we don't, because there's maybe counter evidence in Shas, in Chazal. The third option, which is what the Rambam does, is to harmonize, right? Do what any good brisker does, Tzvei Dinim. There's two mitzvos. There's a mitzvah which, like the Psukim, applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a mitzvah which applies everywhere. And the Rambam's way of dealing with this is, in Chutz La'aretz, you have to destroy it if it happens to enter your jurisdiction. In Eretz Yisrael, you need to be proactive, and you need to destroy avodah zarah. And we can talk about why that is philosophically, you know, from today till tomorrow, but we'll leave it. Right? I don't want to get into the philosophy. We can, you know. But we'll try to just explain it halachically. Now, that's the position of the Rambam. However, other Rishonim take the other two options that we had. Right? The other two options were downplaying the implications of the Gemara and saying, really, the mitzvah is Eretz Yisrael focused, or downplaying the implications of the Psukim and assuming it's not Eretz Yisrael focused. So the Tur and the Ramban take each of these positions. The Tur in Yoredei Siman Kuf Mem Vav says as follows. He says, mitzvah al kol hamotzei elil shivarena v'yavdena. It is a mitzvah on anyone who finds any idol to destroy it. V'keitzim nevara, how do you do it? Shochek v'zar l'ruach, grind it up, throw it into the wind, burn it, whatever you do, get rid of it. So the Tur clearly did what? Again, psukim imply only Israel. Gemara implies even Chutz La'aretz. The Tur took the Gemara as normative and says, okay, the Psukim sound like they're only Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara interprets it not that way. The mitzvah is equivalent in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. You have to destroy avodah zarah wherever you are. The Ramban goes in the exact opposite direction. And he says, no. The Ramban says, avodah zarah lav achak siva shalol avda el okra l'shash achareha. He said, wait a second. We're not talking about the prohibition not to worship avodah zarah. We're talking about the prohibition to destroy it. Ve'ema ba'aretz. It should only be in Israel because the pasuk says, "Dichtiv asher atem yorshim otam et Eloheihem." The pasuk says, when you go into the land and you are destroying the idols of the country, then you have to destroy the idols. Which implies that it's only in Eretz Israel. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to do it. Right, you can't worship avodah zarah, but you're not dominant. Right, leave it to everybody else. Let them do what they want. Leave it to God. Don't do it yourself. So what does he do with the? What does he do with the fact that the Gemara seems to say not that way? Right, the Gemara seems to say that the mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban interprets the Gemara differently. He says, "Shein zarach lo kral beretz Yisrael ve'efshar mishum dechiv nami adam lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem ki im amakom v'yesh bechal ze isur bamot afil v'chutz la'aretz." He says, if you read the whole pasuk, so there's more than one prohibition in that pasuk. Chazal understand when it says lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem, destroy avodah zarah, and destroy their altars and destroy their matzevot, v'lo tasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem, don't do it to God, that one of the things that's included is don't build a bama, right? Don't build a mizbech outside the Beit HaMikdash, because the idolaters don't have a centralized place of worship. You need to. So Ramban said, maybe when the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah, which is, maybe the implication of the psukim that it's in only in Eretz Yisrael, that is true. You only have to destroy Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. What can't you do in Chutz Laretz? There is an aspect of the mitzvah that applies in Chutz Laretz, and that is, you can't build a bama in Chutz Laretz. But in fact, you have to downplay the implication of the Gemara and say, yes, the mitzvah is unique to Eretz Yisrael, right? So now you have these three positions. You have the Ramban, who downplays the implications of the Gemara and says you only have to destroy Avodah Zarah in Israel, like the Psukim, right? Like the implication of the Psukim. The Tur, who downplays the implication of the Psukim in favor of the Gemara and says you have to destroy idols everywhere equally. And the Rambam, who harmonizes them by saying in Chutz Laretz, if you happened to conquer land, so then you have to destroy Avodah Zarah there. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to be proactive to destroy it. Now, where does the Rambam get it textually? Right. So far, we've said what he's doing is harmonizing, but he didn't actually make up this harmonizing. It's from a Sifrei. So the Sifrei, in fact, says this: Yachol af mitzvah lirdof achrehem b'chutz laretz. I might have thought that there's a mitzvah to chase after it in chutz laretz. Talmud lomar v'ibatem et shemam in amakom ahu. You have to destroy its name from that place. Beretz Yisrael atam mitzuveh lirdof achrehem v'ein atam mitzuveh lirdof achrehem b'chutz laretz. And you don't actually have to pursue it in chutz laretz. So that's where the Rambam gets that position. Additionally, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Mem Hayam and Bet, says as follows: Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Gidue Avodet Kochavim Kodmin Lekibush Eretz Yisrael. Destroying Avodah Zarah comes before conquering the land. Kibush Eretz Yisrael Kodmin Lebir Ove Kochavim. But fully destroying idols comes after Kibush. So the Gemara, and then quotes up, and then proves it from the Tani Rabbi Yosef, and he taught them in Mizbechotam, Vehanach, Vishibartem, Matsevotam, Vahanach, Vahanach, Sakadak, Dachstrefa, by Amr Abuna, Rodef, Vacharkach, Srof. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah also seems to imply that it's only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam has the implication of the Psukim on one hand, the Gemara's implication of Avodah Zarah on that same side, that it's only in Israel, the implication of the Gemara in Kiddushin on the other side, of Sifrei, which offers a compromise, and that's how he paskins. Right, so textually and just methodically, what the Rambam is doing, right, it's pretty straightforward what the Rambam is doing, right? He is harmonizing the sources using the Sifrei and saying there is a dual mitzvah, one Chutz Laretz, one Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael you have to be proactive, in Chutz Laretz, if it comes to you, then you have to destroy it. This is also the psak of the Smag in Mitzvah Yudalid, right, where he distinguishes between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. The Marsha goes in this direction, and he also highlights the fact that there are two mitzvos, but he adds a little bit of a twist to it, which is that so much so is destroying Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael the main mitzvah, that only there he proposes that there's a bracha. In Chutz Laretz, you have to destroy an idol if it happens to come to you, but there's no proactive mitzvah, so you don't make a bracha. Right? If it's in my property, so I have to destroy it. In Eretz Yisrael, where you have a proactive mitzvah, there is a bracha that you make when you start on your, for lack of a better word, I could find better words, but it won't really capture it, your crusade, right? Your holy war. Right? That highlights this position. In Shulchan Aruch, right, he does not distinguish. You just get mitzvah al kol motzei avod kochavim shivarena v'yavdena. It's a mitzvah that anyone who finds it to destroy it. V'ketzed mevara shochek v'zor l'ruach omata l'yam. You should destroy it, throw it into the water, whatever you do. And then in the next sif, he says mitzvah tzarich l'sharesh achar ha'elilim u'lechanot lahem shem ganah. You have to seek out the idols and you have to, you know, disgrace them, call them by insulting names and the like. And the Maharshal So Shulchan Aruch doesn't weigh in. Is there a difference between Chutz L'Aretz, Eretz Yisrael? It just doesn't weigh in. So we don't really know. The Taz commenting there notes from the Maharshal that this distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz L'Aretz doesn't just apply, he thinks, to destroying Avodah Zarah. It even applies to the mitzvah to insult Avodah Zarah. He thinks that's also only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz L'Aretz. Right? In Chutz L'Aretz, we can be, you know, passive. We don't have to go out of our way to culturally bash Avodah Zarah, to physically destroy Avodah Zarah. We just have to, you know, get it out of our property. But there's no active mitzvah to humiliate it, to destroy it, etc. Okay. So that's, I think, the textual basis for the position of the Rambam, right? It's an attempt to harmonize the Gemaras, the Psukim, the Sifrei, all together. Now, conceptually, though, why would you distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz L'Aretz? Why would you say that there's a dual mitzvah, a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz L'Aretz, but a unique mitzvah to destroy it in Eretz Yisrael, right? To be proactive, right? Why would you say that? Right, so one is a function of Kedusha. Right? That's something about the Kedusha, right? Or to just, you know, flesh it out a bit. In Chutz L'Aretz, you can't have any connection with Avodah Zarah. So you don't have to be proactive. If it comes into your property, so then you have to destroy it. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have a second mitzvah, which is to protect Kedusha Zarets, protect the Kedusha of the land. So I have to be proactive to destroy it too, because it's somehow anathema to the land itself. Okay, what else? Another possibility is to say, no, the reason Eretz Yisrael is different is because in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that it's the Kedusha, you have a mitzvah to conquer the land. Conquering includes not just conquering the land, but everything implied with that, right? Everything under that, which means, right, express control over the land, religiously, right, politically, theologically. Right, so that's another possibility. Each of these we will come to. What's another possibility? So let's remember, in Chutz L'Aretz, when are you chayev? If it's in your property. So what's another way of distinguishing? Right, it's just to say that in Eretz Yisrael, it's the same principle. It's just in Chutz L'Aretz, you only own that which you own. In Eretz Yisrael, the Jews own Eretz Yisrael anyways, right? Or it's at some level we own it, and therefore it's the same principle, just manifests itself differently. So if you look through the Mefarshim, you see each of these positions expressed. So the Gra thinks the Tur agrees with the Rambam. That's seemingly not true, right? The Tur said the opposite of the Rambam. The Rambam said there's a difference between Israel and Chutz L'Aretz. The Tur says there isn't, or makes no such distinction. But in describing the difference, he says L'chora Chiluk Sheben Eretz Yisrael Chutz L'Aretz. Who Sheb Eretz Yisrael Afilu B'Makom Shelo Kivashnu Chayav Leva'er Avo B'Chutz L'Aretz Daf B'Makom Shekivashnu. So he just says the difference is that in Chutz L'Aretz we need to actively go and destroy it, and Chutz L'Aretz is the only places we have actually gotten. Okay, he doesn't explain how we got there. Okay, the rugged chover I put here in 14, he says in one line, he says v'tzarech lomar d'eretz Yisrael muchzeket hi v'hav yeshalo af kodem kibush. He just says it's very simple. The principle is you have to destroy Avodah Zarah from a place which is yours. Eretz Yisrael is yours. That's all there is to it. The Aviezri takes it a bit farther and he says sh'ne'emar behalav. He said he thinks it's a function of the following prohibition. Lo tavi to'eva el beitecha. Right? Don't bring an abomination into your house. Asham hu bayit shel Yisrael ein... I retyped it. Hu bayit shel Yisrael ein lavi avodah zarah betocha bayit af minunen mimenu. I mean, you can't have avodah zarah in your house even if you're not benefiting. So he says, "Kach im kibshu eizem makom b'chutz l'aretz yish mitzvah atzei l'abed et avodah zarah me'achar shemakom u'bershut Yisrael." So in Chutz L'Aretz, if you conquer a place, you can't have avodah zarah because it is now your place. So then you can't have avodah zarah. Avar be'eretz Yisrael achiyuv lirdof u'labed avodah zarah sharei eretz Yisrael muchzeket etzlenu me'avoteinu. It's not just that it's ours. Right, he says, he just pushes the rugged shover a bit farther. The rugged shover says, Eretz Yisrael is ours. He says, what does it mean it's ours? It's our house, right? It's You can't have Eretz Yisrael in your house. Well, Eretz Yisrael is our house. The whole country has been ours. It is our destiny. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, the Bala Tosfot, not in the context of Eretz Yisrael, seems to present this thesis as well. And he says, in the context of when is it permitted and when is it also to rent out property to non-Jews, so he says the reason Eretz Yisrael has more of a problem is because Nira lo atam debechutz laretz lo mikri beitecha ela baaretz. Chutz laretz is never your home. Even if you own property, it's not your home. Only in Eretz Yisrael, it is your house. Now that would explain not just the Rambam, you could use it even to explain the position of the Ramban, right? That in Chutz Laretz, there's no obligation whatsoever to destroy Avodah Zarah, right? Remember, he explained that Gemara away. If you think that it needs to be your house, and not just that Eretz Yisrael is our house, but Chutz Laretz is definitionally not our home, right? Then you could go farther than the Rambam and get the Ramban. But at any rate, what all these positions come together is to suggest the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, sorry, difference for the Rambam between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz is what is called yours. In Chutz Laretz, it's only what you own. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the whole country because of our metaphysical historical connection to the land.
And it doesn't differentiate between whether who's in charge.
This position would not distinguish between who's in charge, right? We're going to come to the question of control right now. The second possibility, which is similar to this but importantly different, is it's not about ownership, it's about control. In Chutz Laretz, right, you don't really control anything. Maybe your private property you control. Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is you're controlling it. Now, what's going to be the nafka mina between those two formulations of it's your home or it's the place you control, right? The nafka mina would be, right, what if you don't really control Eretz Yisrael? Right? What if, now, that could mean either you're not politically in control or you are politically in control, but you're not free to go around destroying Avodah Zarah because you don't have enough control. That is the position of the Chinuch. We'll come back to the practical implications of this are clear, but we'll come back to that at the end. But the Sefer HaChinuch takes that position. It's not about land ownership. It's not about homeness. Right? It's about control. And he says as follows, No heged b'schar min kevot. This mitzvah applies to men and women. B'chol makom b'chol zman. Always. All times, all places. Shemitzvah alenu la'beit shem avodah zarah. We have to destroy avodah zarah. Im yesh koach b'yadenu. If we have the power. Aval ein ayuch anu chayavin l'rdof achrayem la'abda. We only have to chase after it. Be'eretz Yisrael. B'zman. She'adenu tkefa alovdeah. When we have political power over the worshippers. So the difference is, the principle is the same. You have an obligation to root out Avodah Zarah proactively when you have control. So therefore, both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, you're exempt if you don't have control. In Chutz Laretz, the assumption is you never have control, so you never have to chase after it. The only question is if it's under your actual dominion, right? It's your private property, right? You buy a house and you find that the previous owner left an idol, right? So then maybe you have to destroy it because it is yours. But the assumption in Chutz Laretz is you will never have the political dominance to actively find it, root it out, and destroy it. In Eretz Yisrael, you might, but even in Eretz Yisrael, you might not, right? So that's formulation two. Formulation three, is the third possibility, right, is what my father-in-law said before, which is that it's a function of the mitzvah of kibush, right? The difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz is not how much is it our home or how much do we control it. The reason that we have to be proactive in Eretz Yisrael is because we have a mitzvah in general to be proactive in our dominance of Eretz Yisrael. Once, right, in Chutz Laretz, you can justify being passive because you have no obligation to be in control. In Eretz Yisrael, you do. The second you say you're obligated to proactively take control of the land, mimela, you're obligated to proactively destroy Avodah Zarah. It's a function of your mitzvah to be kovesh Eretz Yisrael. Now, this was the position of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So this is, for those of you who are following it on your phones, right? If not, you'll see it later. But the Rav Khan, Rav Yair Khan, was a Rebbe in Yeshiva Har Tzion, the yeshiva I was in for many years. So he has an article where he quotes, right, Soloveitchik. And he says, it's not that they are separate mitzvos. He said, "Huchidei shedin redifa acharei avodah zarah be'eretz Yisrael, hu kiyum biyirusha v'yeshiva." The difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is there a mitzvah to actively try to inherit the land? Not really. We don't have source sheets because we're going. Anyways, he said, "Haribonut hayisraelit hamichuyevet mitzad din Yerusha v'yeshiva kolelet bein hayeter tihur Eretz Yisrael." The obligation to conquer Israel, among other things, includes within it the obligation to purify Israel. Now, this may be related to the Kedusha question before. Right? These are all the same thing. The reason we have a mitzvah to conquer the land is because we have to make it a makom kadosh. Part of that is expressing political dominance, and part of it is respect, is expressing theological purity. Possibly any time you would be kovesh, right? That would be the question, right? Is it a formal mitzvah of when we have a melech and we're doing the formal mitzvah of kibush, or any time we are conquering, which we'll see soon. One of my favorite shilas. This I have to thank Gavri Butler for, but we will see that this was the question that was posed to Rav Kasher. As we'll see, we'll read a little bit of it because it's fun. Rav Kasher, in 1967, Rav Kasher was, the author of Torah Shlema, was a Bucky and everything, and a Zionist, and he got a letter from the Satmar Hasidim saying, "What is with you Zionists, all your, Groise Frum, Chayalim, and their kippot who went up to Harabayit, right? I didn't see them destroying Avodah Zarah. You're being Kovesh Eretz Yisrael." So that's what we're going to come to soon. But that is the position of the Rav, right? The difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is whether or not there is a mitzvah of kibush. So to summarize where we are, and then expand it slightly. So we start with, again, the psukim and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah imply that the mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah is only in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Kiddushin implies that the mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, because the Gemara calls it a mitzvah she'ena tluya ba'aretz. And therefore it's noeg bein ba'aretz bein v'chutz la'aretz. It applies everywhere. So, you have the position of the Tur that downplays the implication of the psukim in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and says that, yes, the mitzvah is equal everywhere. You need to destroy it in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara implies in Kiddushin. You have the Ramban, who downplays the implications of the Gemara in Kiddushin, and says, no, when the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah that's noeg bein ba'aretz bein Chutz La'aretz, it means you can't build a bama in Chutz La'aretz, you can't build a mizbech outside the Beit HaMikdash in Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael, but the mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, that's only in Eretz Yisrael, just like the psukim sound. And then the Rambam, taking the Sifrei into account, which presents that in Eretz Yisrael the mitzvah is only lirdof achreha, suggests a way of harmonizing and says that in Chutz La'aretz, you only have to destroy Avodah Zarah that happens to end up in your property. In Eretz Yisrael, not only do you need to destroy Avodah Zarah in your property, you need to actively pursue it. And we suggested three or four models of explaining why Eretz Yisrael is different from Chutz La'aretz. One is to say it's a difference of whether or not it's your home. Right? The mitzvah is to destroy Avodah Zarah in your home. In Chutz La'aretz, the only thing which is your home is your home. In Eretz Yisrael, the country, by definition, is our home. A variation on that, based on the Chinuch, is to say it's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah when you have political power. And therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, the assumption is you never have political power except over that which is literally in your home. In Eretz Yisrael, if you have political power and can destroy Avodah Zarah, you're obligated to. in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't have the political power, you're also not obligated to. It's just that we expect you to have more political power in Eretz Yisrael than you do in Chutz La'aretz, but the possibility is open that even in Chutz La'aretz, even in Eretz Yisrael, you won't have political power. The position of Reich Salvechik is that the difference is not, is it your home, or is it where you have political control? The difference is there or isn't there not a proactive mitzvah to take control of the land? Right? In Eretz Yisrael, there is. It's called mitzvahs kibush haaretz. In Chutz La'aretz, there is not. And the third and a half explanation is that itself, the distinction between whether there's a mitzvah lichbosh Eretz Yisrael or not, it might be a function of the fact that Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of Kedusha. There is a Kedusha that we are responsible for, and that may explain the Rambam's distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Yeah? No, if it's in your property, right? Because the function of kibush.
Yeah,
right, exactly. But you don't have to, right? He's explaining the Rambam.
Yeah.
Now, right, the Rav pointed to a parallel obligation. I won't read this one inside, but the Gemara in Makot Dav Zayin says that both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, there is a mitzvah to set up Batei Din, right? To have court systems so that halacha can function. But the Gemara says there's a difference. What? No, not non-Jews. Jews. Jews have to set up Batei Dinim. But the difference is, as the Gemara said, B'chutz la'aretz, atachaya b'chol pelech u'pelech, v'ein atachaya b'chol ir v'ir. In Chutz La'aretz, you have to set it up in every province, but not in every city. And Eretz Yisrael, you have to set it up b'chol pelech u'pelech, b'chol ir v'ir. You have to set it up in every province and every city. What's the difference? So it sounds like, in Chutz La'aretz, you have a passive obligation. You have to make sure that the Torah can be kept. You don't have to actively go up and set court systems. You just need the minimum amount so that Torah law isn't forgotten. In Eretz Yisrael, we have an obligation to express Jewish law, and therefore every city, no matter, right, of any decent size, needs to have a court, because the function is not just, you know, if a court case comes up, you'll be able to go to a Beis Din and not to go to a secular court. The function is, in each city, you want a spiritual body that can say, this is the culture, this is the tenor we are setting for the community. Okay. A fourth distinction, right, which is related to what we've been saying, and this is the way Ray Weintraub wanted to take it, was to say it's not just about the mitzvah of kibush, it's not just about the mitzvah of religious purity. In Eretz Yisrael, there's part of the equation, because it's our land, and because we're chayev to dominate it, there's also a mitzvah to create actively a Jewish culture and destroy negative cultures, right? Which is more expansive than just destroying Avodah Zarah. His proof is that we mentioned before that the Maharshal, quoted by the Taz, says that the mitzvah to insult Avodah Zarah is only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Taz says, I don't understand. Right? Why would you only have to insult Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, you can equally insult Avodah Zarah in Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael. What is the difference? But the Shach defends the Maharshal. And the Shach says, no, it's really true that you only have to insult Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. But why? Right? Right? Insulting Avodah Zarah isn't about purifying the land. It isn't about destroying Avodah Zarah. But what it is about is it's about culture. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, you have an obligation not just to root out Avodah Zarah, but to purify the culture of the land. So if people are talking about Avodah Zarah, then you have to go out of your way, even the way you talk, the way you think, to denigrate it, to uproot the very fabric of society. In Chutz La'aretz, there's no such thing, right? You live in a society of Avodah Zarah, you deal with that, right? You are a minority, right? The culture is not yours, you live within a broader culture. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to create a culture. So that's 3.5, 4.5, let's say, explanations of the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Now, halacha l'maisa, though. So what do you do then with churches in Eretz Yisrael? According to the pashtus of the Rambam, right, you would have to proactively destroy churches in Eretz Israel. Now that assumes something very large, which is that churches, right, or Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Now, I won't read this inside, but Regel Achas, this is the problem with using my phone, is now it's on. Okay. There you go. Okay. Regel Achas. Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? So let's start with Catholicism. So, as it goes famously, it's like this. Tosos has an enigmatic comment and says that Bnei Yisrael are Mitzuvim al Hashituf, and Goyim are not Mitzuvim al Hashituf. Jews are prohibited from Shituf, right? Which is combining Avodah Zarah and God together, and non-Jews are not. Now, what does that line mean? So the simplest read of that line in Tosos is that it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah at all. It has to do with, if you take a Shavua, right? If you take a vow and you say, in the name of God and saint whatever, is that prohibited or not? And Jews can't do that. If you're making a vow, you have to make it in the name of God, or not in anybody's name, but not in the name of God and the name of saint whatever, or rabbi whatever, or whoever you want, or, you know, my mother, or whatever you're going to do, you don't do that, right? If you're making a shvuah b'shem Hashem, it's a shvuah b'shem Hashem and nothing else. Non-Jews can make a shvuah in the name of God and whoever they want. Not Avodah Zarah, right? A saint is not an Avodah Zarah, right? It's, right, in the name of God and Paro, as you find in Tanakh, right? In the name of God and, right, Chei Hashem v'chei Paro, Chei Hashem v'chei Saint Peter, Chei Hashem v'chei my mother, doesn't matter. Non-Jews are allowed to do that. That is the position of Tosfot, according to the Noda Yehuda. I think it's the simplest, and many of the Achronim at least are choshesh for this. If that's true, then the Trinity, right, is Avodah Zarah. And that is the position of the Rambam. The Rambam says straight out, Islam is not Avodah Zarah, Christianity, at least Catholicism, is in fact Avodah Zarah. The Ramah understood Tosfot not that way. And he said it's not just about Shvuot, it's about, is believing in God vidavar acher, or in other words, a Trinity, or not necessarily a Trinity, but let's use the Trinity, is that Avodah Zarah. And the Ramah says, or seems to say, that the Noda Yehuda denies this. The Noda Yehuda thinks the Ramah agrees with them. But the Ramah, as is classically understood, says that that Catholicism for Jews would be Avodah Zarah, and for non-Jews would not be Avodah Zarah. Now, how you justify that the same act and belief could be Avodah Zarah for Jews and not for non-Jews is very difficult, and that's why many of the Achronim just take the Noda Yehuda and say Joseph never meant it. But according to the Ramah, Catholicism is not Avodah Zarah. Now, if we're trying to explain just the Rambam, right, as, you know, the framing of this series is the Rambam Hilchot Avodah Zarah, so the Rambam holds Christianity as Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam holds in Eretz Yisrael you have to chase after idols and destroy them. For the Rambam, we'd be in trouble. Lemaisa, you could say, okay, well, we have the Ramah, and the Ramah says it's not Avodah Zarah, so it's fine. Even within Christianity, Poskim will distinguish between Catholicism and other branches of Christianity that don't believe in the Trinity, or alternatively, just don't, right, don't believe that Jesus is part of God, that he's whatever he is. So Allah Lamaisa, you could solve some problems by passing like the Ramah. But it's worth noting that even if you pass like the Ramah, so the best case scenario is you've now justified why you don't have to destroy churches. You have not explained why you do not have to destroy Hindu temples in Israel, which the Ramah is not going to help you for. That's straight Avodah Zarah. Is there any way, halacha l'maaseh, of defending that? Okay. So, what?
You mentioned the
chinuch. Good. So one possibility is the chinuch. So I'm going to do this a little bit out of order then. Since we're starting with the chinuch, let's start with the chinuch. So the chinuch, we noted, had explained this distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, not as an absolute distinction. Right, the Chinuch had said the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is a question of where do you have political dominance. So the Chinuch says, well, look, usually you have more political dominance when you're in Israel than when you are in Chutz La'aretz. But if you're in a situation where you don't have political dominance in Eretz Yisrael, so then The Rambam would be Modeh, right? The Chinuch is just going Bishita the Rambam. You also wouldn't have to destroy, right? You wouldn't have to actively destroy idols. If it ended up in your house, you would, right? Just like in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't have to seek it out. Okay, but this is a bit problematic, because the fact is, we are in control in Eretz Yisrael. We are, right? But how could you say we're not? Right? We are at some level, but how could you say we're not?
We don't have enough control.
Yeah, why don't we have enough control?
Be a
so
what?
Globally,
right, so those are the two answers. One is the danger it poses to us, and two is the other governments. Or to put it even sharper, and we'll see that this is how Rav Herzog said it, it is not just that there are other governments in the world. What? They rely on them for alliances, and even more fundamentally... More fundamentally than foreign aid. What?
Money.
More fundamentally than money.
It still exists.
What?
It still exists. It's established by the UN, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was established by those nations. Meaning, Israel, we may be in control, but it was granted as a Jewish state by the United Nations. So, Rav Herzog says as follows. He says, Me'ata she'ela tzricha she'tutza b'tzura b'midah b'rva acheret mizo she'melfiya kan lefaneinu. Said, here is what happened. He said, "Natna lanu ha'efsharut lekabel me'amot koch lakim eretz yisrael minayundi." We were given the right by the UN to set up a Jewish country. Ach bitnayim shenisbol b'nei dat acheret, on the condition that we set up a democratic state in the Western understanding of that word, which means with religious tolerance. Right. He says, therefore, Yehu afilo of the Elilim, even if they're actual idol worshippers. And I'll skip down. He says, Val kol panim im yakablu et hanitinot shel hamedina hayudit lo tushlam mehem hazkut lerechishat karka. Oh, right, we can't set up a country and not allow them to buy property, right, much less destroy everything they have, right? If we don't give equal rights to all religions, they would not have given it to us, right? We set it up on the condition that we set up a modern, Western, liberal society with religious tolerance. So therefore, he says, "Ma alinu lasot." So what are we supposed to do?
Another
right? What?
Another conductor.
Okay, but still, how much more so, right? Look, they may not stop Assad from carrying out mass genocide. If we started doing it, right, Barur... something would happen, right? So he says, "Ma leinu lasot?" What are we going to do? Lahagid laumo, tell the nations. Ein anachnu yicholim lekabel tanaya zeh b'mnei sheteratenu hakdosha oseret al memshala yehudit latir hayeshiva b'artenu lenotzrim. What are we going to tell them? We can't accept your terms because our Torah says we aren't allowed to have Christians in our land. It's like, are you crazy? That's not going to happen. He said, and for sure not idolaters, and we can't allow their worship. And we can't rent them lands. He said, "Domani." I love Rav Herzog because he's a very wonderful common sense posek. He says, "Domani shelo yimtza rav b'Yisrael bal moach uval seichel yashar." You'll not find someone with a brain who knows how to think. You'll not find a rabbi in Israel who knows how to think. She's bor shalinu lashiv kach. No one will ever say that. That's ridiculous, right? And then he adds. He said, I'll give you a... and I'll add to that. Furthermore, we need the country, right? He's writing in the 50s. We need the country. It's pikuach nefesh. We need a place to go to, right? So it's not just we won't get the country. We won't have a place to run to. And he says, and don't tell me that this is Yehareg Val Yavor. It's not, right? This is not a Vodizara Bechlal. We're just letting it happen. It's passive. And he said, this is post-Holocaust. Like, what are you going to do, right? We're going to... This will destroy any hope, right? Tichbed gachelat tikva b'le rova uma v'takake et birat yadud kol. It will destroy Judaism as if we don't have a country. So it's obviously we need it, and it's Eizlaz Lashem, right? And then, right, he adds, which I think a very sharp point. He says, look, if that's the case, we don't really have power, and you're going to tell me that we shouldn't take Israel under the circumstances. He said that's ridiculous. He said, are you telling me that the people who lived in Israel for the last 2,000 years with no political power shouldn't live there because there's a mitzvah to actively be ma'abed avodah zarah, and therefore they should have gone around finding the churches and destroying them in Eretz Yisrael when they weren't dominant? Obviously not. You're allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael even if you're not dominant. So just because it looks like we're dominant, that's not the truth. We're not dominant. Right? We're only dominant insofar as the world allows us to be dominant. And the Chinuch already told you that what the Rambam meant is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is where do you or do you not have the political power to uproot Avodah Zarah? We don't have the power. Period. End of story. And therefore, Lemaisa, you don't have to do anything.
Is that any different than
Bayachini? Right. Probably not, right? This has been true for a very long time. The Rav Kasher, as I mentioned before, was asked this wonderful question. We don't have time, so I won't read it all inside. But it was this wonderful question where he said, he got a letter from the Sadmer Hasidim, and they said, I get it. You came into Israel in 48. You weren't conquerors. Fine, you didn't destroy Avodah Zarah, but you, from Jews, you claim, you religious Zionists, that you are Chayav, that you keep the Torah. What? Did he what?
He defined them.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's polemicizing against certain people, yes, clearly. But Rav Kasher is not even polemicizing. He literally got the question, and they said, can you call yourself religious Zionist? How are you religious? You went, you know, Harabayit Biadenu, Harabayit Biadenu, and you left all the Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim. You were in the middle of Kibush, right? And you didn't do it, right? Haraya, you don't keep the Torah. Right? That's what the Rambam says. You have to be ma'abed actively. You were in the middle of Kibush. How could you do it? You need kapara. And then they said, and it's Abu Zrayu Avodah Zarah. And therefore it's Yaharik Val Yavor. So don't give me, oh, it's dangerous. Doesn't matter. It's Yaharik Val Yavor. So Rav Kasher said, first of all, no, it isn't. It is not Yaharik Val Yavor. Right? And he says, right? And this is what you said before. Mishum Eva, he said, it is not Yaharik Val Yavor. And therefore, this is literally Pikuach Nefesh. We don't have the political power, but here he doesn't focus on the political power per se. He says, if we do it, we will die. Right? So we're not going to do it. You're crazy. You people are out of your minds. Right? And that was basically his tshuva. The tshuva is 2 pages with 9 pages of footnotes. Right? He's like, that is actually, right? He's like, I do not have to explain to you why this is a bad idea, right? And he says, therefore, in shum nidnud shel chiyuv livaer, right? Ki asur lanu litgarut b'mano sheish b'kocham la'amit chas v'shalom ason aleinu v'kol yudim b'chol mekamot megureihem. We cannot do something that will endanger worldwide Jewry just because, right? So, he just says, it's very simple. Bizman hazeh, we're not doing it because it's dangerous. It is not Yaharik Val Yavor. End of story. Don't get into this discussion. It may be true in theory halachically. It's not because of the chinuch. We're not Yadenu Tkeif Aleihem. But besides that, it's Pikuach Nefesh, plain and simple. Okay. The last sheet I will bring, this is the last source on the page, is Rav Henkin. Because until now, so what we've had is the fundamental chiyuv. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to actively uproot Avodah Zarah. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't. How do we not do it bizman hazeh, either with churches, if you think they're Avodah Zarah, or Hindu temples, which are clearly Avodah Zarah. So you have Rav Kasher who says, basically, it's Pikuach Nefesh, and you have Rav Herzog who says, there's no mitzvah l'abed Avodah Zarah when we're not in power. But, is there any way for someone who, maybe in some way, actually likes religious tolerance, to say that this is a good situation? Because what comes out from both Rav Herzog and Rav Kasher is, this is b'di'evet. Right, is the situation we're in is very b'di'evet, but l'chatchila, if we could, we would go and destroy Avodah Zarah. Is that the only way of going about it? So the last thing that I found, I came across this, it's a tshuva, it's buried in the middle of another tshuva by Rav Henkin, by Behuda Herzl Henkin, and he says as follows. I won't read it inside, I'll tell you what he says. Okay? He says no. And this is an idea that Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say in several contexts. He said, one of the beliefs that we have in this world is that the way history plays out is Ratzon Hashem. So if for 2,000 years we've been in a situation, and even now that we have Eretz Yisrael, we're in a situation where we can't destroy Avodah Zarah, it must be that God wanted it that way. You'll tell me, but what about Bizman HaMashiach? Right? How can you tell me that it's L'chadchila, that God doesn't want us to destroy Avodah Zarah in the time of Mashiach? Aren't you modeh that we're going to destroy Avodah Zarah? So he says, no. Because the nevuot about Zman HaMashiach all tell us that Ovdei Avodah Zarah are going to give up their Avodah Zarah. So he said, yes, in theory you should destroy Avodah Zarah, but the reason that mitzvah exists is more to teach us our value system, namely, that your responsibility is to ensure there's Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, there's purity in Eretz Yisrael. But it's a law on the books, but not Lamaisa, not just B'di'eved. God wanted it that way. I, Mashiach, yeah, B'zman HaMashiach, the ideal is that everyone will give up their Avodah Zarah. But in the meantime, God clearly wants religious tolerance in the world because he understands, right? God is being tolerant and therefore he's creating a situation in which you have to be tolerant. So Rav Henkin says, no, it's not a b'di'evet, it's a lechatchila. Is that the law is supposed to teach you the values of the Torah. The Torah wants you to purify Eretz Yisrael v'Avodah Zarah. But lemaisa, God doesn't want you to do it. And that's why he set up the situation in such a way that we have no choice but to not destroy Avodah Zarah. And Zman HaMashiach, there won't be Avodah Zarah. We hope we'll never have to do this, because there's two ways of destroying Avodah Zarah. One is destroying it, and one is making the Avodah Zarah see the truth. That's really our goal. And the fact that we're in this situation is not B'di'evet, this is exactly how God wanted it to be. And in the middle of that tshuva, he says, and therefore this mitzvah has become B'geder Drosh V'Kabal Tzchar, where God wants you to understand the values that the mitzvah represents, without actually doing it, right? And that is, in fact, exactly how God wants it to be, which I think is a nice way of at least suggesting a lechatchila formulation, not just assuming we're living in a constant state of some sort of b'di'evid mishum eva yadenu ein tkeva, of saying, no, the fact that we're in that situation is how God wanted it, because God would rather uproot Avodah Zarah, right? Going back to Machlokes, you know, Reb Meir and Bruria, so to speak. He would rather not destroy Rishayim, he would rather them do tshuva so there are no Rishayim. Right? That is the way he would like it to be. That's what will happen in Bizman HaMashiach. In the meantime, we can celebrate that our B'di'evet state is lichatchila, exactly as God wants it to be.